Henderson told me you were a badass. Insisted on the matter, in fact.
Wait, Henderson said that?
Oh, yeah. Shit. Kid worships you, dude. Like, you have no idea. It's kind of annoying, to be honest. I don't even know why I care what that little shrimp thinks, but, guess I got a little jealous, Steve. I guess I can accept the fact that Steve Harrington is actually a good dude. Rich parents, popular, chicks love him. Not a douche? No way, man. No way. That, like, flies in the face of all the laws of the universe and my own personal Munson doctrine. Still super jealous as hell by this.
Great.
Which is why I would never have jumped in that lake to save your ass. Not under any, normal circumstances. Nope. Outside of D&D, I am no hero. I see danger and I just turn heel and run. Or at least that's what I've learned about myself this week.
Give yourself a break, man.
See? The only reason I came in here was because those ladies came in straight after you. Now, I was too ashamed to be the one who stayed behind. But Wheeler, right there, she didn't waste a second. Not one second. She just dove right in. Now, I don't know what happened between you two. If I were you, I would get her back. Because that was as unambiguous a sign of true love as these cynical eyes have ever seen.
Stranger danger, talking stranger things. Together forever, we're loving stranger things. It's Stranger Things Forever. Rewatching season 4 from the start to the finish. It's Stranger Things Forever. Every podcast we do will cover just 10 minutes. Stranger danger everywhere. I hope that you people still care. It's time for me to do it. Let's get to it. Come on, everyone.
Greetings, stranger friends, and welcome back again today for another episode of Stranger Things Forever. It's Tuesday. I am back with the second episode of the day, another 10 minutes of the Massacre at Hawkins Lab. Today we're going to be talking about minutes 20 to 30. It's only been a few hours. Really, since you last heard from me, I would say about 12 hours ago, I was recording the last 10 minutes. So, what's new? How's everybody doing? I typed Stranger Things into Google News again, and I kind of pretty much wanted to ignore all that stuff. I feel like I've touched that and talked about that enough. But there was one article that stood out. Esquire is doing another piece on another Stranger Things actor. The title of this article is What Does Gaten Matarazzo's Life Look Like After Stranger Things? For nearly a decade, the actor has been the beating heart of one of TV's most successful shows ever. The journey wasn't easy, but it's exactly what prepared Matarazzo to begin anew. This was published this morning. It was actually published before I recorded the last episode, but I didn't see it then. It's an article by Brady Langman. And I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes. You're 13 years old. Your emotions rocket from total devastation to euphoria and back all day, every day. But today, right now, life is pretty effing great. It's November 2015 and you're 800 some miles away from home, living with your mom in a god-awful extended stay hotel. Two doors in this glorified closet. One goes outside, the other goes to the bathroom. Your family can't afford anything better. What? I've stayed in a lot of motels, and you have two doors, one that goes to the bathroom, one that goes outside. I didn't know that was really roughing it. In fact, I'm trying to think, I haven't had many motels or hotels where I've had more than one door. It says, New Jersey misses you, but you're a young actor with real talent, and it's taking you places. He did multiple nights on Broadway, including a stint in Les Mis. Then a different sort of audition came along for a sci-fi show called Stranger Things, which hailed from the Ascendant? Is that right? Streaming service Netflix, and you actually got the part. The cost, a seven-month shoot in Atlanta. Petrifying, but you take it. I'm going to let you take the article from there, but it's really just kind of talking about Gayden, pretty much how he got the job and what is next for the young actor. He's also a young singer, young performer. It is a lengthy article with some photos that I can't believe these guys are young adults now. It's crazy. So check that out. There's a link to it in the show notes. And if you're seeing this on YouTube, there'll be a link to it in the description. So our 10 minutes picks up where it ended last time was where Hopper said they'd need a miracle. And lo and behold, this 10 minutes picks up with a van pulling up outside of a gate. We can assume this is the gate to the prison. And lo and behold, just like they said, the plan was for a Russian man named Yuri to bring in two Americans that are wanted by the KGB. And what are they presenting here? They're presenting to these two guards a Russian man bringing in two Americans. However, we see that the person driving the van is actually Murray. He pulls out his ID and he shows the picture, which is actually the real Yuri. They don't look exactly the same, but Murray shaved his beard, so he's got a big, thick mustache now. He spoke perfect Russian, and the photo is just enough where you could say, oh, it's a bad photo, or, you know, it's dark out too, so you're looking at this guy going, well, it must be him. And he says, I have important cargo to bring in, and they look in the back, and they see Joyce tied up, and they see Yuri tied up. He's tied up. His face is covered completely, so they can't see. He actually looks a lot more like the man in the photo because it is him. And he's yelling. Like, he's trying to talk, but they definitely gagged him so that he can't say anything. But he's like, burr, 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 burr. And the guy just sees these two men. He just assumes, the guard would just assume, this is the American man trying to fight, you know, for his freedom. And he gives quote-unquote Yuri back his ID. Well, he gives Murray back Yuri's ID and buzzes them through. They've made it into the prison. We leave Russia as they kind of pan away, and we see off in the distance the prison. We leave them and we go into the Nina Project. We go over to Nevada, where we last saw Eleven, you know, got beat up a bit. And she's still in the tank. She's still in her memories. And in this memory, Brenner is speaking with her, trying to get through to her, trying to, you know, say that you, trying to find out who did this. And she wouldn't say. So he gathered all the kids together and basically said that Eleven was attacked. She got a concussion. But she doesn't remember what happened. She said in the Rainbow Room by herself, she said. She got a concussion, but she doesn't remember what happened. And does anyone here know what happened? Now, if no one said anything, it might have just gone by the wayside, or everyone would have been in trouble. However, Two is a cocky fool. And he says, well, maybe she's clumsy. You know, she's dumb. And maybe she'd caused it herself. And he gave a little snicker. Like, a lot of these kids, and it looks like, you feel sad because these kids are in these drab outfits. Like, it looks like they're these little patients. But they're not sick, but they're, like, being used. And it's kind of depressing to me. But I always thought they would be, like, living in complete fear of Papa, but this kid seems cocky enough to actually snicker. And Brenner gets right in his face and he's like, do you have anything to say? Did you do anything? You know, like, he basically confronts him And he says, did you attack her? He's like, what? Did she say something? Did she say something about it? She's lying. And she didn't say anything. And then he goes, get the collar. He gets this collar, which I guess gives electric shocks. He gives him a chance to confess. He doesn't do anything. He starts turning that up. I actually liked the tactile, like old-fashioned look of this controller he had, like tick, 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 and the higher it got, the worse it was for two. And he's like, it was an accident. And you could see he turned, you know, he basically says, you think the rules don't apply to you because you have some talent. And this is where you see Brenner talking to Eleven earlier, and he's like, he's very gentle with her, and he's very much like, you know, like compassionate to her. Then you see how cold and heartless he is with two, and it's like, oh, this is the monster that we remember. Like, let's not forget, he's taking advantage of all these kids trying to get their powers to, I guess, work with the government, work with the military. You know, he's not the epitome of evil, but he is not a good person. And he's doing this, he's torturing this kid, and you can see all the kids are freaked out. 11 is freaked out. Even that young orderly who got shocked previously was freaked out. Nobody was comfortable with what Brenner was doing, except maybe that one guy who actually had the collar. That I think he might have been one of the same guys who was torturing the orderly. Those two guys seem to be pretty much enjoying themselves. I don't like them, but all the kids seem very, very uncomfortable.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So we go from Russia to Nevada to Hawkins, where we spend the rest of our 10 minutes in Hawkins. But two very different versions of Hawkins. We start off in the Upside Down with our four young heroes. Nancy and Robin are in the front, and Eddie and Steve are in the back. And you can see Robin's like, we couldn't have taken a road. We have to be out here in the middle of the woods. Nancy's like, I think we're getting closer. I think we're going to be out of here soon. Because remember, they ran into the woods away from Lover's Lake to get away from all those demo bats. So they walk ahead, and then we get this long conversation, kind of really the first moment of Steve and Eddie alone together, one-on-one. And I played most of it at the beginning of this episode, but it starts off with Steve thanking Eddie. He thanks him for jumping in. He's like, oh, no, that's, you know, you did that. Like, you were badass. You were a very Aussie moment. He's like, what? The way you bit that bat? Just like Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath. The fact that Steve didn't know who Ozzy or Black Sabbath was mind-numbing to me. I was like, everybody knew who Ozzy was, I thought, by that time. Maybe you didn't know Black Sabbath, but you would have heard of them. But then I guess there are some kids who are so in the bubble of sports and being, you know, like maybe they're rich kids who, they did listen to music though, because I remember he listened to Corey Hart. But I guess they're so outside of the world of quote unquote heavy metal that you wouldn't even know. Like Ozzy was pop culture by that point. Ozzy was on Solid Gold. Ozzy, like he was a superstar at that point. I mean, he wasn't the reality show star that he became, you know, a decade and a half later. But he was, at least to young people, you would have thought he was known, but not to Steve Harrington. So look, Steve's not perfect. He's close, but he's not perfect. But I love that he said, you know, Steve Harrington's like badass. And, you know, he's, which is what Henderson said. And you could see that Steve was like, he said that? He's like, oh, he goes on and on about you. It got me jealous. He kid worships you. So, you could see that these two older guys both like the attention and the affection and kind of the looking up that they get from Dustin, who, you know, sees both of these guys as kind of like older brothers. I mean, he has no siblings. He's just him and his mom. So he sees these two older kids, very, very different, but both very caring and both very like supportive and just real with him, authentic with him, that he sees these two older guys, I think, exactly like older brothers. And the fact that one of them, I think Steve got a little jealous of Eddie too, but the fact that Eddie showed that he was actually jealous of Steve, I thought was pretty sweet. So he's like, you know, the fact that Steve Harrington's actually a good dude, I was, you know, that's crazy. And which is why, like, you know, if I would never would have believed it, which is why I would have never jumped in to save you. You know, that's not me. Outside of Dungeons and Dragons, I'm no hero. I see, you know, I see something scary and I turn heel and run the other way. It's like really is setting. I mean, it's when you listen to it, it's like, okay, they're basically setting him up for a hero moment, or they're setting him up to show that he's a big, you know, he's a coward like he says he is. But I think we know the truth of that. But Steve's like, don't sell yourself short. And then he goes, no, man. He goes, the only reason I jumped in is because those two ladies right there jumped in ahead of me. They didn't wait a second. Nancy jumped right in, didn't even think about it. I didn't want to be, you know, I didn't want to be the coward, the one person who didn't do anything. And that's when he goes on and goes, I don't know what happened between you two, but you need to get her back, because if that's not, you know, a sign of true love, I don't know what is. And you get another moment of Steve, like, longingly look at Nancy. We've gotten these, like, they've really been teasing it out at this point. Remember, Jonathan's off in Salt Lake City right now, heading towards Nevada. He and Nancy haven't spoken. They can't speak right now. And they haven't been together at all. And you know me, I love when our group is all together. And it seems like but we do see moments in the trailer for Stranger Things 5 where our team, our crew, our group is all together. Obviously, that can't be the case. People have to go off and do their separate adventures. But I love it when the group comes together and they're not there. They're all separated right now. They're all scattered. But Steve and Nancy being together seems to be sort of rekindling something. At that point, we get another earthquake, another underground, upside down earthquake. Like, oh, here we go again. And then Nancy runs ahead and she sees something. She sees through the woods there in sight. It looked like covered in demobats. So that's not very good. But there's her house. They found the house. She knows if she goes in there, there'll be a couple Nancy Wheeler guns waiting for her. So they make their way. As we leave them, we hear Dustin calling to them on the walkie-talkie. But I guess their walkie-talkie's in the middle of Lover's Lake in the actual boat still. They couldn't bring it with them. If they did, it would have ruined it. He's like calling them and he goes, we've been collared by the law. Repeat, we have been collared by the law. I love his very nerdy way of explaining things that to him probably sounds really cool and natural, and the way people talk, because he probably saw it on TV or a movie. So he was calling them in the bathroom. He comes out of the bathroom and Lucas is like, anything? He's like, nope, nothing. He's like, you don't think they went through, do you? He said, through Watergate? I love that he gives things a name and that is their name forever. He's like, through Watergate? Without us? Without a plan? Without weapons? They wouldn't be that stupid. Oh, that's it. That is time. So, another 10 minutes in the book, another Stranger Things Forever in the books. What did we learn here? Well, we learned that Murray and Joyce made it into the prison. We'll see what happens there. We learn that the Steve and Eddie had a little bonding moment, and another bug got put into Steve's ear about Nancy. I don't know if another bug, but definitely he's been having some thoughts, and he's going to continue to have them. But they found the upside-down Wheeler house, and they're heading that way. And we know that in Eleven's memories, something is important to the fact that two was found, or at least accused of attacking her and punished, you know, thoroughly. And guess what? He did attack her. So he kind of deserves, I don't know if he deserves what he got, but he deserves something. But Brenner, ooh, what a son of a bee. And then, of course, the last thing we learn is that Lucas and Dustin are talking about where they could possibly be, but there's no chance they went through Watergate. But of course, he's letting them know they were collared by the law. So I love that. So that's it. That is it. I had some thoughts. Now, I've been trying to do this every morning and every evening. I'm going to try to do one tomorrow morning, but it might be tough. Just because Thursday mornings are a little tougher in the morning as far as having the full amount of free time. So tomorrow's only Wednesday. Oh my God, perfect. I'll see you tomorrow. No problem. Thursday morning, there might be a little bit of an issue. Tomorrow, not a problem at all. I'll talk to you again in the morning, and then I'll talk to you again at night. Oh, my God. Tomorrow's only Wednesday, huh? Well, I tried to lose a day and get through the week quicker, but apparently it's only Tuesday, which is fine. The more time I have, the more time we have to talk about Stranger Things forever. So I will see you tomorrow as usual and tomorrow night. Thursday morning might be a bit of an issue. If that's the case, I'll just have to record two back-to-back issues Thursday night, episodes, I should say, Thursday night, and get those out to you. Same thing with Friday. Friday, well, it might be able to work. I might have to work around it because there's a certain point on Friday night where I'm going to hang out with my nephew and we're going to go rent a movie. That would be around now. It's 9 o'clock right now, tomorrow. So we'll see. I'll definitely do on Friday morning. Either way, we're going to make it work. Gosh darn it, we're going to make it work somehow, some way. But I will be back tomorrow morning talking more Stranger Things forever to you. And I hope you're here as well. But in the meantime, go to StrangerDangerPodcast.com to get to this show directly, or go to FansNotExperts.com to get to all of my podcasts. You can follow me on all the socials at Geek Mentality, except TikTok, which is Geek Mentality Mike. My brother's birthday was yesterday, and I just posted a video of the birthday card that I got him. So I always like to get a birthday card that's close. I either like to get a birthday card that's close, but the age is wrong, so I write in the age, which is what happened here. Or I get one that is so way off, and then I write in the thing, this is the only card available, I'm sorry, happy birthday. But that was the last video that I just posted. And, what else? In YouTube, Fans.Experts on YouTube, where you can listen to every single episode of Stranger Danger. It's up there. They're all there. And that is it, my friends. I will see you tomorrow morning. But until then, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. And remember, there's people like you and people like me all over the world. And we are the ones who keep Stranger Things alive forever. Fans Not Experts.